Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting live from our studios in New York City. Today, we're going to talk in depth about why the whole campaign for pink to decrease breast cancer, it's not doing anything. However, we will share positive, constructive insights of how you can prevent breast cancer, information directly from Green Med Info and Dr. Madeline Castellanos, a medical doctor. Sugar consumption, it can lead to several big problems, one in your brain, actually two in your brain. We'll get to that. Glucosamine can inhibit colon inflammation, heavy metal poisoning, probiotics could protect your children and pregnant women. Monsanto scandal causes reopening of an investigation of GMO wheat. Nuts and other foods can ease joint pain and a lot more. Then I'm going to give you a list of the companies that if you choose you could boycott. This is something that those of us who support anti-GMOs or labeling of GMOs should be sharing with one another. I'm happy to report that we got a lot of calls yesterday and emails from our listeners in Colorado because just in 2 weeks they'll be up with a law to either label them or not. Millions of dollars are being pumped by the GMO industry into Colorado. We have sent out articles showing every one of their statements to be untrue, meaning the pro-GMO people, and people have been watching on YouTube the full Seeds of Death. In fact, as of just this morning, and it's there, anyone can see it, I believe it was 1,283,000 people just from one single site had watched it. Now, that doesn't count the thousands of other sites and the tens of millions of searches, hundreds of millions of searches for it. How many of those millions of people watched it, we don't know. But the word is getting out. We are hopeful that this will help us. Now, here's what you can do. I'm going to list a number of companies whose products contain GMOs and whose management supports GMO. So you have a choice. That freedom of choice to continue buying those products or boycotting them. Also today, Michael Moore will tell us what he thinks of President Obama's legacy. Michael Moore and Obama's legacy later in the program. Also today from our environmental segment, thirst turns to desperation in rural California, Jennifer Badena from the New York Times. I'll share some of that. Plus, I have a lot more, and including a guest. My guest in the second part of the program, John LaForge, is going to talk about U.S. nuclear weapons and the delivery of those buildups that the media is completely ignoring, a major story that we'll be breaking exclusively here. Let's start. You'll be hearing quite a lot in the media about the need to find a breast cancer cure. We're in the National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That's why this past Sunday you saw so many athletes wearing something pink on their uniforms. And most people, I believe, consider that that's a noble thing. But, well, who wouldn't? Who would be against finding a cure for breast cancer? But then look who's sponsoring it. Zeneca Pharmaceuticals, now AstraZeneca. They are behind this, one of the groups behind it. That means more money is given to pharmaceutical companies to come up with drugs to treat breast cancer. Now, according to Dr. Magdalena Castellanos, this movement, many like it, have been instrumental in increasing awareness of breast cancer and destigmatizing it for millions of women. But here's my concern. All the fundraising is primarily targeted at raising money for new drugs. I can't find anything about real prevention. In fact, some sources go so far as to say there is nothing you can do to prevent breast cancer, and also emphasize the genetic component of breast cancer, which in my opinion is not scientifically valid. You may have a gene that can express itself in a particular condition, but that does not mean that it is inevitable. You can intervene in that sequencing process with healthier lifestyle and prevent it. So they're lying to us. So can you prevent breast cancer? This audience knows the answer is absolutely unequivocally yes. But here's also what's important. Modern medicine is learning about how diet and changes in our food supply impact our risk of developing cancer. So I'm going to give you some specifics now. So get out your notepad. And so when our cells are damaged, and by the way, they can be damaged from the things I talk about every day on this program, cell phones up to your head or where you wear them on your body. A lot of people wear their cell phones in their pockets or on their waistband. Very bad for whatever organs are in that immediate 6 to 7 inch area. The sun is a major damager. Marijuana is a major damager. Now, that's different from the chemicals in marijuana that can be isolated and given to cancer patients, people with other diseases. That I support. But the smoking of marijuana as a way to relax yourself in a non-toxic way is a myth. Every single marijuana cigarette you smoke has more carcinogenicity than cigarettes. So where I believe all drugs should be legal and people should have the right to choose, at least understand there is a consequence when you do that. But that's another issue. Now we know that virtually everything that you eat and drink can either support health or damage and stress the cells. And that makes it more difficult the older you get to fix those damaged cells. Here's my list of things, as I was telling our health support group last night, not to have in any amount, period. These are the toxins. And my analogy is the moment you think about eating or drinking any of these things, immediately, without hesitation, run in, stick your head in a toilet bowl, and then suddenly you realize, I would never do this. Well, then don't eat and drink. Things are going to have a bad effect on your health. No different. All right, one we are all aware of. These were not. Dairy. I want to start with dairy because it has such a huge impact on women's breasts. And it is really downplayed by the dairy industry. Dairy products all come from milk, which is designed by nature to make babies grow very fast. Milk has a growth factor that naturally promotes the fast growth of cells. And breast tissue is very, very sensitive to it. This growth factor will encourage the body to multiply cells more quickly, especially breast cells. That increases the chance of damaged cells to slip back the body's repair mechanisms. And cows are often milked while pregnant so that farmers can get milk from them year-round. This means that the estrogen from pregnancy, what is called estriol, E-S-T-R-I-O-L, which is 300% more potent than regular estrogen, estradiol, is going to be present in the milk. Now, estrogen is very stimulating for the cells in breast tissue, and that's what makes women's breasts tender. The reality is that dairy products are just too stimulating for breast tissue because it encourages the growth and division of those cells, which increase the chances that damaged cells could multiply before the body can fix them. Now, in addition to the natural growth factors found in milk and the high level of estrogens, many cows are given hormones, which are all fat-soluble and therefore come out in the cow's milk. Breast tissue is particularly sensitive to added hormones, and you will be taking these into your body when you have any dairy. Now, that means milk, cream, yogurt, cottage cheese, sour cream, buttermilk, doesn't matter. That's a really important issue. And lastly, most cows these days are fed grains grown with pesticides, which are very strong stimulators of estrogen-sensitive tissues. The pesticides are not carefully washed off, and because they're being fed to cows. The cows eat the grain, and then the pesticides get concentrated into all that fatty tissue, both in their muscle and in the milk they produce. When you drink that milk or eat the dairy product that has any milk fat, like milk, cream, and cheese, you're eating a concentrated version of pesticides. And these chemicals strongly activate your estrogen-sensitive tissue because the body recognizes them as a form of estrogen. So what is my takeaway line here? What is the moment to become aware? Eliminate all dairy completely. Completely. And that will help your body. Because if you don't stop drinking it or eating it, then you're going to imbalance the fat-soluble hormones and the chemicals that it contains. But next up, and also bad, is meat. Meat in any form. Now, when I say any form, here's something simple. If it has a face and a heartbeat, you don't eat it. How about that? That means fish, beef, chickens, turkeys. All right, because there's a consciousness behind it. Every day, I select very loving and heartwarming videos or photographs to put up on my Facebook page. And I do that to remind people that animals, these creatures, there's a consciousness behind them. And time and again, you'll see how the chimpanzee nurtures and bottle feeds the little lion or tiger cub, and how a bear and a lion and a tiger coexist and love each other and play all day as adults. They grew up together. There's no animosity. It's just one big loving family. And how circus animals act when they're rescued from the circus and in a new environment. And it warms your heart. You can't help but, appreciate, wow, I didn't know this. So consider that about giving up meat. But any meats that are fed grain instead of grass, remember all these animals and that are hoofed animals, they live off grass. The chlorophyll, the phytonutrients, the manganese, all the minerals that make them strong, and they get their protein from it too. But in the way that we feed them, they're given pesticides, which concentrate in the fat. This means that any chicken, pork, or beef that is not grass-fed will be high in causes of breast cancer because the fat is going to get into your tissue. The effect is also greater with a higher percentage of fat like ground chuck or ground sirloin or hamburgers or hot dogs. Unfortunately, even meat claiming to have no hormones or no antibiotics is not always grass-fed. Buying grass-fed meat, if you're going to eat meat, can be challenging unless you buy it in a health food store. And if it's necessary to take that step as a process to giving up meat altogether, so be it. Not everyone can go cold turkey, and we must be compassionate, understanding of people who want a period of time to make a transition. That is not an unreasonable thing. Now, you've got some food fascists out there who believe that anyone who wears anything from an animal or eats anything from an animal is, deserving of no respect and no compassion, no consideration, and I disagree, because people have to be fully educated and have a conscious change before they are able to decide to make changes. Then they have to get out of their comfort zone, then their conditioning. So it's not just a simple saying, give it all up. You have to be patient, compassionate, understanding, and help people by being an example. You're never going to be a good example if you're intolerant of what other people are doing that you believe they should be giving up. Sugar. One of the most difficult things to reduce in your overall diet is the amount of sugar you eat. Why? Well, you get used to higher and higher levels of sugar in your food without realizing it, and almost every prepared and processed food out there has sugar in it. The reason why sugar is such an important factor in the development and growth of breast cancer, studies have shown that sugar directly feeds cancer and causes it to grow quicker than the body can stamp out. So many foods either have large amounts of sugar in them, or they have artificial sweeteners which just cause more cravings for sugar. One of the best things you can do for yourself is to learn to eat foods without added sugar. This means foods you prepare yourself without any pre-made sauces or flavorings. Why? Because there's a point of time where we have to get used to the natural flavor of an item. I know people that cannot eat watermelon unless they put sugar on it. It's not sweet enough. They can't have orange juice. It's too bitter. They have to have an orange drink. So, okay, give yourself time and get off those high amounts of sugar. All right? And gluten. If you stay away from wheat, you'll dramatically reduce the amount of gluten in your diet. And the reason why gluten can be a problem, even if you don't have celiac disease, is because it causes inflammation in your gut that triggers an exaggerated response from your immune system. And once your immune system is off balance, it cannot fix any cellular or DNA damage so easily, so your risk of breast cancer increases. And then finally, fats. Not all fats are treated the same in your body. There are some fats, especially artificial fats like trans fats and margarine, that cause an increased amount of inflammation in the body. Your body does not treat all oils the same way, and so you should pay attention to which oils and fats you consume. Now, you've heard me mention that the oils, coconut oil, walnut oil, avocado oil, and olive oil and flaxseed oil, those are your healthiest oils. Have them on a regular basis. And one other study that just came in, sugar consumption leads to memory problems and brain inflammation. This is from the University of Southern California. I'll quote their study directly. It was published in the journal Hippocampus. Quote, studying rats as model subjects, scientists found that adolescents were at an increased risk of suffering negative health effects from sugar-sweetened beverage consumption. And it went on to talk about, quote, the brain is especially vulnerable to dietary influences during critical periods of development, like adolescence. And so, here's the takeaway message. If you're consuming any diet that has added sugars that can lead to weight gain, metabolic disturbances, but now it can affect your brain, the neurofunctioning and cognitive ability by directly negatively impacting the hippocampus and causing inflammation in the brain. So get off all sugars. One final thing, that very low concentrations of heavy metals, bad. Antibiotics, bad because they contribute to resistance. Quote, this is from the Uppsala University in Sweden. New Swedish research shows that plasmids containing genes that confer resistance to antibiotics can be enriched by very low concentrations of antibiotics and heavy metals. These results strengthen the suspicion that the antibiotic residues and heavy metals, such as arsenic, silver, and copper, that are spread in the environment are contributing to the problems of resistance. These findings are now being published in the journal, medical journal. So in lay language, what this means is we're all consuming some amount of heavy metals. However, if you're taking antibiotics, you increase the body's ability to get sick and you reduce its capacity to resist it. Hence, they say it contributes to resistance, meaning you're going to be weaker, your immune system weaker. You won't be able to fight as well an infection. So get rid of the heavy metals and don't take the antibiotics. They're natural antibiotics. I'm Gary Noll. That's our health and nutrition segment. Now, a new study out shows that Monsanto's Roundup is linked to cancer again, from John Ritterman, MD, and from Truthout. Quote, it goes on here to say that Monsanto makes seeds for soy, corn, canola, cotton, alfalfa, and sugar beets that are genetically engineered to be tolerant to Roundup. The seeds are marketed in 120 countries and throughout the world. Roundup is sprayed heavily, quote, as a weed killer without a fear of damaging cash crops, which have been engineered to survive The change in how agriculture is produced has brought, frankly, a change in the profile of diseases. We've gone from a pretty healthy population to one with a high rate of cancer, birth defects, illnesses seldom seen before. Then he goes on to talk about how the Roundup is impacting cancer. Quote, Roundup is now heavily sprayed in what is known as the Soy Republic, and an area of Latin America larger than the state of California. This region has undergone a profound transformation since genetically modified crops were first introduced in 1996. 125 million acres in Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, Uruguay, Paraguay are now devoted to GM soy production. Doctors serving these areas have documented an alarming increase in cancers. A group of dedicated physicians formed an organization, Doctors of Fumigated Towns. They held a national conference in August, and this is the heart in Argentina, the soy region, and the Department of Medical Sciences of the National University sponsored the conference. 160 doctors from throughout the country attended, and they said, quote, the change in how agriculture is produced has brought, frankly, a change in the profile of diseases. We've gone from a pretty healthy population to one in which a high rate of cancer, birth defects, illnesses seldom seen before. What we have complained about for years was confirmed, and especially what doctors say about the sprayed towns and areas affected by industrial agriculture. Cancer cases are multiplying as never before in areas with massive use of pesticides. And then it went on to talk about all the other doctors saying something similar. So what it means is they're getting lymphoma, they're getting brain cancers where these sprays, these Roundups are being used. And finally, from our public health segment, if you choose to boycott a company because they've been contributing to Monsanto and DuPont and Syngenta and Bayer's efforts to keep genetically engineered products in the public domain, and we're trying to get them out, and they're putting millions, tens of millions of dollars behind the effort to confuse the public, misinform the public, let me tell you who they are. This is from John DiNardo, and, quote, do not buy from the following anti-GMO labeling companies. The following companies are responsible for producing the majority of GMO-laden processed foods sold in the United States, for making financial contributions to fight California anti-GMO labeling campaign. Don't put these poisonous foods in your shopping cart. Earth Grains, Oro Wheat, Entomonas, Bumblebee Foods, Campbell Soups, Prego Sauces, Pace Salsas, Petridge Farms, Swanson Bross, V8 Juice, Cargo Inc., Pioneer and White Wing Flour, Baking and Gravy Mixes and Tortitas, Coca-Cola, Marie Callender's, Orville Redenbacher, Banquet, Hunt's, Chef Boyardee, Hebrew National, David Sunflower Seeds, Wesson Oils, Silk Soy Milk, Horizon Organic Milk Products, Del Monte Foods, Dole Foods, Betty Crocker, Biscuit, Gold Flour, Gold Medal Flour, Green Giant, Häagen-Dazs Ice Cream, Hamburger Helper, Alara Bar, Mura Glen, Mountain High, Nature Valley Granola Bars, Pillsbury, Progresso, Yoplait Yogurt, Godiva Chocolatier, Hero North America, the 100% natural jams and jellies with GMO sugars, Hershey's Chocolate, Hormel Meats, House Autry Mills, Idahoan Foods, Venture Foods, Smucker's Jelly, Kellogg's Cereals, Land O'Lakes Butter, Cheese, Eggs, Spread, Creams, Snickers, Skittles, Pedigree and Rural Cannon Pet Food, McCain Frozen Potato Products, McCormick Spices, Morton Salt, Nestle's Chocolate, Bottled Water, Dairy Products, Ocean Spray Cranberries, Pepsi Cola, including Naked Juice, Fritos, Doritos, Sunny Chips, Quaker Oat Cereals, Armor Hot Dogs, Aunt Jemima, Miss Butterworth Syrup, Bird's Eye Vegetables, Duncan Hines Cake Mixes, Hungry Man Dinners, Mrs. Paul's Fish Products, Vandekamp's Fish Sticks, Riley's Coffee, Tea, Cake Mixes, Mayonnaise, Rich's Products, Richelieu Foods, Pizza Sauces, Sara Lee, Ballpark Frank's, Jimmy Dean Sausage, Hillshire Farms Meats, DuPont, Sunny Delight Beverages, and Wrigley Gum Mints and Candy. So those are the things that he is suggesting you boycott. I'm Gary Nall. We try to bring you everything we can that makes a difference in our lives. Finally, up for people living, and we have thousands, tens of thousands of listeners living in California. I'm going to quote verbatim a short piece in the New York Times. It is called Thirst Turns to Desperation in Rural California. After a nine-hour day working at a citrus packing plant, her body covered in a sheen of fruit wax and dust, there's nothing Angelica Galecos wants more than a hot shower with steam to help clear her lungs and throat. I can just picture it, that feeling of finally being clean, really freshed and clean, she says one recent morning. But she has not had running water for more than 5 months, nor is there any tap water in her near future because of a punishing and relentless drought in California. In the Galangos household, more than 500 others in Tulare County, residents cannot flush a toilet, fill a drinking glass, wash dishes or clothes, or even rinse their hands without reaching for a bottle or a bucket. Unlike the Okies, who came here fleeing the Dust Bowl in the 1930s, the people now living on this parched land are stuck. Quote, we don't have the money to move, and who would buy this house without water? She says she grew up in the area and shares a tidy mobile home with her husband and two daughters. When you wake up in the middle of the night sick to your stomach, you have to think about where the water bottle is before you can use the toilet. Now in its third year, the state's record-breaking drought is being felt in many ways. Vanishing lakes and rivers, lost agricultural jobs, fallow farmland, rising water bills, suburban yards gone brown. But nowhere is the situation as dire as in East Portersville, a small rural community in Tulare County, where daily life routines have been completely upended by the drying of wells and, in turn, the disappearance of tap water. Everything has changed, says Yolanda Sirota, 54, who has spent most of her life there. Until this summer, the lawn in front of her immaculate three-bedroom home was a lush green, with plants dotting the perimeter. As her neighbors' wells began running dry, she warned her three children that they should cut down on hour-long showers, but they mostly rebuffed her. They kept saying, no, no, Mama, you're just being too negative. Then the sink started to sputter. These days, the family of five relies on a water tank in front of their home that they received through a local charity. The sole neighbor with a working well allows them to hook up to his water at night, saving them from having to use buckets to flush toilets in the middle of the night. On a recent morning, there was still a bit of the neighbor's well water left, trickling out the kitchen faucet, taking over 10 minutes to fill two quarts. You don't think of water as a privilege until you don't have it anymore. And so it goes. We're seeing 6.5 million people in Texas and 1,200 communities running out of water, and over 10 million people in California and over 400 communities running out of water. This is only the beginning. It will not get better. It's going to get much, much worse. Much worse. We're going to do our part to help the people where we can, supply them with some truckloads of water. But we can't help everyone, but we'll start where we can, and I'm going to try to get some tanker trucks up to Detroit and try to create some water cooperatives up there. I just wish people would have paid attention when this was an issue that they could have done something about. But people don't change. 99% of people will never change, even in the face of something as devastating as having no water. We'll deal with why people don't change on an upcoming program. But in the interim, we're still going to be doing all we can to help them. Back in a moment, and when we come back, we're going to hear from Michael Moore. Please stay with us.
I think Obama, sadly, has been, you know, he's done many, many good things, but he's also been a huge disappointment. And I really feel like I wish somebody would say to him, maybe I'll say it in case he's watching. You do read The Hollywood Reporter, Mr. President, don't you? When the history is written of this era, this is how you'll be remembered. He was the first black president. Okay, not a bad accomplishment, but that's it. That's it, Mr. Obama. 100 years from now, he was the first black American that got elected president. And that's it. 8 years of your life, and that's what people are going to remember. Boy, I got a feeling, knowing you, that you'd probably wish you were remembered for a few other things, a few other things you could have done.
Well, I agree and disagree. He both goes too far and doesn't go far enough. So let me explain. First of all, I agree that President Obama's accomplishments have been sparse. Let's put it that way, right? So it's not that he did nothing. He did Obamacare. He had a couple of good laws. You have to go all the way back to Lilly Ledbetter, which is the first law that was passed during the Obama administration about fair wages for women. That was back when he had, like, he thought he had this much of a mandate. He's like, ooh, let me try to make sure women get paid the same as men do. Wow. And he got that passed. Good, good. Okay. And he gets a couple of Supreme Court justices, some good laws to protect consumers on credit card issues, although on the banks he's been horrible, horrible, right? And you know, to protect college kids paying tuition, there was one good law passed there that saved us and them billions of dollars. So it's not fair to say nothing. But the central promise of President Obama was, and he literally said this in one of his campaign ads back in 2008, he said, I'm not going to play the same old Washington game a little better. I'm going to change the way the game is played. Now, he did no such thing. Never even made an effort, not 1% effort. Didn't try to change the game. The lobbyists still run the place. The donors are in massive control, and even more control than when President Obama took place. He has done the bidding of his own donors, whether it was bailing out the banks, who were his number one set of donors back in 2008, to the military-industrial complex, to the oil companies, and the list goes on and on of the people he has catered to, right? In his mind, President Obama has played the same old Washington game a little better. Now, I would argue, and probably Michael Moore would agree, that he's actually played it a little worse. So, two recent examples, but I could literally give you dozens of these, and I have throughout the years on the Young Turks. One is recently on immigration. Oh, Latinos, thanks for voting for me. 71% of your vote came to me. That's why I'm president. I told you I was going to do reform. Psych, just kidding. We're going to midterm elections, and I'm scared of the Republicans. I don't want more Republicans showing up to vote, so I'm not going to give them a reason by making sure I do not do immigration reform before the elections, because I'm so scared of the Republicans. Well, you're not playing the game a little better. You're playing it worse. That you're caving into them. You think you're going to get more votes by trying to appease Republicans? It's been 5-6 years now. When are you going to get it through your skull? They will not be appeased. And now, of course, oh, no, Republicans, don't worry. I'm just as tough as Bush and Cheney was. I'm just as stupid as they are. I'm going to go bomb all over the Middle East. I'm going to go declare war on ISIS, and I'm going to get us involved in a war in Iraq and Syria. I'm going to do what Bush couldn't do, start more wars than him. Great. The one thing that you were doing well was, hey, at least we got out of Iraq and we were eventually going to get out of Afghanistan. Now that's wiped away, too. So incredibly frustrated. I don't know if he'll be only remembered for being the first African-American president, but I do know that he is absolutely coasting. And he does not care, because here's the thing we always misunderstand. We always think, like, that Iraq war was a disaster. It was a failure. No, it wasn't. It was declared by, in essence, Dick Cheney, right, who was, by all accounts, running the country from 2000 to 2006. Bush, for better or for worse, took charge in the last 2 years, right? And actually, it was, believe it or not, slightly better than the Cheney years, okay? Now, and Cheney, who used to work for Halliburton and got a $34 million exit bonus for them, started a war where Halliburton's stock price went up fivefold during the war. Mission accomplished. So you think Obama, well, he's not doing anything progressive, and he seems like he's given up. He's not doing immigration reform. What has he proposed, let alone done in the second term? Nothing. Nothing. Okay?
You are right. Nothing. Well, wrong again. A, I wouldn't look at Obamacare as anything other than a gigantic wet kiss worth over $3 trillion in the next 10 years to the insurance industry that motivated, wrote it, and implemented it. So we disagree on that. But he has made the military-industrial complex and private corporations that are privatizing assets, he's made them extremely wealthy. And he'll be well rewarded when he leaves office. I'm Gary Noll. We're going, and I'd like your feedback on that, please. What will Obama be remembered for? Michael Moore, you just heard him say, for being the first black president. But Michael talks mainly to a corporate liberal audience. We talk to a progressive audience. What are your thoughts? Call us at 888-874-4888. I'd like your feedback. In about 3 minutes from now, we're going to hear from John LaForge from Luck, Wisconsin, on the U.S. nuclear weapons program, how much we're spending, and why we're making the world a more dangerous place, returning to the mindset of the neocon Cold War. Why? And why isn't the media covering it at all? Well, John, who has been on the staff and including co-director of the Wisconsin-based nuclear watchdog and environmental justice organization NukeWatch for over 22 years, and is the editor of the organization's Nuke Watch Quarterly, one of the most thorough and respected publications on everything going on in nuclear, will be here. He has also contributed substantially to the Progressive, Z Magazine, Earth Island Journal, and others. And the website is nukewatchinfo.org. We'll speak with him in about 3 minutes. But first, let's give you a... premium. This is our premium for the week. We only do one a week. Hence, none of the other programs in all the years we've been on the air have ever had to take a moment break from their programs to raise a penny, because every penny goes to this station. This is a special. It is Heavenly Aloe, the cherry berry. Now, I created Heavenly Aloe after I took a trip with my brother Stephen Howard and some buddies down to Costa Rica and then the Dominican Republic to find out how aloe is really grown. Because I didn't believe what I was being told by the so-called best aloe growers in America. And then I found myself, I photographed, it looked like a moonscape. It was ugly, terrible. DDT, which had been banned in the United States, was being sprayed. There was no sanitation. But the end product was shipped off to the United States where it was bottled and sold. So I decided I'm going to do something about it. So I created Heavenly Aloe, which is organically grown, certified in the United States near Rio Grande Valley of Texas. It's kosher, and it is different. It is the whole leaf aloe with all the 200 different mucopolysaccharides, so beneficial. Now, I never have made a claim about any product, and I won't. But that doesn't prevent you from Googling aloe vera, whole leaf aloe vera, and looking at all the qualified, independent peer-reviewed literature on what does it do and why you should have it every day in your system. In this whole leaf aloe vera, which is considered the best tasting aloe anywhere, you're getting an herbal, hand-blended infusion of Siberian ginseng, gota cola, wild yam, ginger, and peppermint extracts. You're getting a natural cherry and black cherry natural fruit flavor. It is tested for purity by 4 independent labs. It is certified by the International Aloe Science Research Council. Then it's allowed to be shipped. It's whole leaf. We get rid of the undesirable alum and the aloimodin, which can cause upset stomachs, which is in so much of the other aloe out there, but not in this. So you're getting, quite frankly, in my opinion, one of nature's 10 most perfect herbs. I take it every day. I take 2 ounces in the morning. You're getting the big bottles. You're getting 2 bottles. 2 Heavenly Aloe Cherry Berry bottles, kosher, for a great discount of only $47.99. That's a big savings. So how do you get it? Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or you can drop by the Vitamin Closet, 83rd and Broadway, 7 days a week, noon to 7. 877-627-5065. Now let's go over and say hello to John LaForge, who's standing by. Hi, John. Nice to have you with us today.
Good morning, Gary.
John, when Obama ran as a presidential candidate and then first entered the White House, he was promising a world without nuclear weapons. However, since then, he's gone almost completely unnoticed by the major media for what he's actually done. That is, Obama's budget for a new generation of nuclear weapons and the delivery systems is the highest ever in nuclear weapons research and development. Moreover, in an article you recently published in Counterpunch, the White House is actually slashing nonproliferation costs in order to increase and fuel a new nuclear race against Obama's new imaginary enemies like Russia and China. So before we go into the details of the U.S.'s new nuclear militarization, such as the new B-61 thermonuclear gravity bomb, begin by telling us what our listeners don't know about Obama's love affair with the nuclear warfare industry and what the media and government wishes to keep hidden from its citizens.
Yeah, it's a gigantic budget proposal that's been put forward by the White House, roughly $355 billion every 10 years for the next 30 years, or a cool trillion, you might say. It's not really a perfect secret. The New York Times on September 22nd put a major piece on the front page about this gigantic nuclear weapons production program. It was the first in a very long time that the Times has done anything so extensive. But generally speaking, you're right. It's sort of an under-the-radar. People would rather not think about nuclear weapons. That's the first thing to put out of their mind in a given day because they're not easy to contemplate. The waste of money here is being decried all over the world by disarmament and other groups who believed, as you pointed out, the president's words in his campaign, first campaign for the presidency, and then later in a speech in 2009 that he sought the elimination of all nuclear weapons and a world without nuclear weapons. What I said in the recent piece at Counterpunch was that hypocrisy is the respect that vice pays to virtue, an old truism you might be familiar with. I think the budget for these new nuclear weapons sites, 3 new production sites in the country, one in New Mexico, one in Tennessee, and one recently completed in Kansas City, Missouri, are virtually unknown by the general public.
Speak about the new B-61-12 nuclear gravity bomb that Obama, Congress, and NATO are pushing for, and against the criticisms of former U.S. military leaders, such as former Vice Chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General James Cartwright, and many European leaders have called this warhead irrelevant and useless. And what is this new generation of nuclear bombs? What are its costs, and why do you believe that General Cartwright and others are correct when they say it is useless?
Well, that's a great question. The B-61 has gone through many, many fabrications or permutations in its long lifetime of deployment. It's a 150-kiloton gravity bomb dropped from large heavy bombers like the B-52 or the B-2. It's currently deployed at several air bases in the U.S., and about 160 are still deployed in 5 Western European allies of the United States, almost all of which have asked for them to be permanently removed. And the B-61 is just an eminently retirable weapon in view of the our European allies in Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, Turkey, who each have about 20 to 90 of these. There's a few in Italy as well. They've all asked for them to be removed from their soil permanently, but the jobs program over at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, at the Y12 plant, is interested in a Model 12, the 12th version of this B-61 gravity bomb, which has been called the solid gold nuke by critics, because the 700-pound bomb, if it were made of solid gold, it would cost less than the price being paid now by the government, $28 million apiece. If it were gold, it would only be $16 million. So this weapon, there are 20, for example, deployed at the Bussel Air Force Base in Germany, is now deployed as the Mod 11, which is supposedly a bunker buster or earth-penetrating weapon. Of course, the data and statistics on testing of such weapons is completely unreliable, and it's quite unlikely that earth-penetrating weapons, especially nuclear weapons, could do anything like what they're proposed to do. In any case, all the major political parties in Germany have in their party platforms a pledge to remove all the last remaining 20 of these nuclear weapons, but even Germany has backtracked on this under Chancellor Merkel now and is moving ahead with plans to incorporate the Mod 12 in a new kind of a new version of this German Tornado jet fighter. All at great expense, that might be a perfectly useless or moot if arms negotiations go ahead successfully and see the removal of all these weapons from Europe. So, long answer to a short question. It's just a jobs program, a money-making program for weapons designers, manufacturers, and producers, one that is imminently retirable.
Just a couple more quick questions here. In terms of costs and budgets, it's not simply creating new generation of bombs, but then also the necessary delivery systems, which increase costs into the billions of dollars. For example, Obama's been pushing for the new long-range strike nuclear bomber to threaten China, the LRS-B, or the China bomber, and they're planning 80 to 100 of these new jets, costing about $550 million each. What do you see as Obama's strategic rationale for promoting this project, knowing full well that all we're going to do is alienate Russia and China and other countries they're affiliated with by making this military posture, especially this nuclear, pro-nuclear first strike capability, seems just foolish if you want to work in a peaceful environment with someone who you've borrowed more money from than any other country in world history, than to be threatening them. Your thoughts?
Well, a strategic rationale is perfectly impossible to come up with. I mean, of course, the President and the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense will come up with verbal rationales and even talk about strategy. But these are gigantic nuclear weapons that have no military practical use. They cannot be used without recoiling the effect that is against the shooters. They can't be used without committing unprecedented massacres, which is illegal in any sort of warfare. They can't be used without doing long-term, even permanent damage to the environment, which is also a violation of the Geneva Convention. So a strategic rationale for these weapons is impossible to produce. But monetary rationale or big business rationale is easy to figure out. Building gigantic long-range bombers for the Air Force is very, very big business for Boeing.
Corporate interests, greed.
And Rockwell International and Northrop Grumman and General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin and TRW and these companies all have long-term vested interests in maintaining the production lines that they've already established.
And they put
millions
in them.
It has nothing to do with defense or strategy.
Well, John, good work out there that you're doing for all these years with Nuke Watch and Nuke Watch Quarterly. Thank you for keeping us up and aware. And put another way, if we were to take the money that Obama is going to be spending and has spent on his nuclear arsenal, we could rebuild the entire ghettos of every city in America. We could de-ghettoize America. We could improve all public schools. We could fix all of our infrastructure, bridges, dams, our rivers. Everything could be made whole with just what we're going to be spending in the next 10 years on this. What a terrible use of money. Thank you very much, John LaForge, for being out there and bringing us this update.
Oh, you're welcome, Gary. My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Now let's go over and say hello to Mark from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Mark. You're calling in to give us feedback on Obama. Your turn, please.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I thoroughly enjoyed that comment. You might want to think about including Cenk on your show. Give him an our show. What he was talking about. Basically, Obama is the normal, natural outcome for Dick Cheney. He has legalized and institutionalized everything that Dick Cheney did in those 8 years. And those are my comments.
Well, here's my comment, Mark. And I, first of all, thank you for calling in from Colorado, and hopefully that you're out there helping to spread the word on why, with this referendum coming up, we should be voting yes in Colorado. We want labeling. And the PBS Channel 12 called me, the head of their pledge drive, and said, can we show your documentary? And I said, yes. So you'll probably be seeing a lot of Seeds of Death out there. But there's an article on our website. Please share it with everyone you can, because they're putting millions. We don't have money to put in. We just have the truth. And sometimes that's not enough, as we saw in California and Washington when we were a majority at the beginning, but after they kept indoctrinating people with fear-mongering, we lost. However, we've written an article that's on GaryNall.com, ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, that shows every argument they use and why it's a lie, and we deconstruct their arguments. Please share that with as many people as you can. In fact, all of you listening in Colorado, share the article to as everyone that you can, and Seeds of Death everywhere you can. PBS out there, Channel 12, will be playing it 5 to 10 times over the next 2 weeks. I was asked, would I give him permission? I said yes. I believe that President Obama, on a scale of 1 to 100, should be rated in his quality of work, in his handling of affairs, as 100. I believe he has been virtually perfect. I believe that everything that he made promises to do before he was selected and then was elected, he has done. The trouble is, he's done them for the wrong people. All that anyone had to do, including Michael Moore, would be to look at who he was supporting prior to becoming, where did he work, becoming president, who sponsored him, what law firm did he work with? What group did he align with? How did he meet David Axelrod, who was a top person for the nuclear industry, and as was Ron Emanuel? So there was nothing to be unexpected when you saw where he was coming from. So he's done everything he's promised. They have made trillions of dollars collectively and cumulatively. And he will be one of those people, the moment he's out of office, who will be doing probably the first person ever to do million-dollar lectures for 25 minutes to get up and tell some jokes. Because that when they make trillions collectively, billions individually from corporations like Goldman Sachs and the nuke industry, the coal industry, the fracking industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the insurance industry, everyone has benefited. He has been perfect. He was even better than Clinton, so he'll be well rewarded. But I think Michael Moore is right. He'll only be remembered by everyone else as the first black president. Thanks a lot. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. A couple of, I think it was last week or the week before, I had asked you about if you would reach out to help the Funk Brothers, and someone asked if you would do that. Did you ever hear back from anybody?
I heard back from a person who knew the son of a Funk brother who got in touch with him, who turned him on to two of the remaining Funk brothers who I'm going to be speaking with this week.
Oh, good.
So I do intend to help them. Just to remind people, there was a time from 1959 to 1972 when the Funk brothers were the people behind virtually 150 to 200 hits out of Motown. And the biggest time was the heyday of Motown, which was in the 1960 to 63 to 67. That was their most powerful 4 years. And the Funk brothers were individuals. They weren't actually brothers. And they were just coming from nightclubs in Detroit, because Berry Gordy Jr., the founder of Motown, knew that the people he needed were people with an R&B background, a more sophisticated jazz sound, extensive training. And so he found James Jamerson, the bass genius, all that great bass you hear on all the, you know, Marvin Gaye and Smokey Robinson. That's James Jamerson. And they did all the arranging. They had the pianist and band leader, Joe Hunter, not the same as Ivory Joe Hunter. And they had William Benjamin and Robert White and Eddie Willis and Joe Messinage and Richard Allen, Jack Ashford, Earl Van Dyke, and Eddie Brown. And most of them have died. I don't know if all of them have died. I know that Benjamin passed in the 60s and most of the others passed in the 70s. Their last great hurrah was doing what is arguably the finest anti-war theme in history. At least that's my opinion. And that's what's going on. In fact, I'm going to end today's show with what's going on, if they can find it real quick. That was Marvin Gaye's 1971 masterpiece. And no one wanted to do it, by the way. But these guys were the brains behind how to make all those sounds sound so good. But when Gordy moved to L.A. in 72, he did not take the Funk Brothers with him. And they never got the credit that they've deserved. So if I can help someone regain their health, who was a part of Motown and who was really the foundation upon which all the other people, Stevie Wonder, Diana Ross, none of them would have had the success that they have had, I believe, had it not been for the Funk Brothers. So that's what I'm doing to help them.
Wow, okay. Very nice. You now, have time for one more?
No, I don't, but here's what I do want to do.
Okay.
We're going to do a new health support group. And I decided this based upon some really positive feedback I've received over the last week from people from the current health support group who are making major changes and seeing major results. We're going to do a brain healing health support group. It's going to begin the second week of November. It's going to run 3 months. It'll be meeting once a week on Sunday. To get in, you have to have either clinically diagnosed depression, anxiety, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, or memory loss, multiple sclerosis. If you have any of those conditions and you've been under doctor's care and you can verify that, call Luann and she'll, you know, screen you for about getting in. And then we'll be meeting once a week for 3 months. Luann, could you give your number?
Surely. It's 631-504-6198. Again, 631-504-6198.
Our goal is to try to help people reverse or improve these conditions: depression, anxiety, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, multiple sclerosis. And I believe that with the new protocols I have, it's entirely doable. So we'll see. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more in our next program. Have a nice day. Let's say hello to Utrice. Hi, Utrice.
Hi, Gary. Today marks 2 months since Michael Brown was shot and killed in Ferguson, Missouri. We're talking about why that case and the case of Eric Garner in New York City, the chokehold death case, have gone nowhere.
Okay, you tree lead right now.
Hey, what's up, man? Brother, what's up? This is a big party, man. Yeah, I can dig it. Stop right on. What's up, man? What's your name? cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way.
The Gary Null Show's executive producer is Richard Gale. Our program director is Jason Taubenfeld. The archive team is Sharon Pride and Casey Holford. And our head engineer is Giselle Hernandez. You can download past programs by visiting our archives at prn.fm.